לדעת המחיה הוא הברזילי. So Baruch Hashem, you're zochah to have another kollel amongst our community. I just heard this myself from Harav. YU, which is Yula Boys Division, has started a kollel. How many Avrachim do you guys have?
Eight
Avrachim, Baruch Hashem. So now Beverly Wood is like Crestview. That's very good. They're up in the game. And Baruch Hashem, so they have eight Avrachim there. They're open to the community. They learn with Baal Batim at night. If anyone lives in Beverly Wood area, and we would like to thank you very much for being with us, Rabbi. And without further ado, Rabbi Stein. Thank you.
How do I turn this off if I want?
You want off or on?
Off.
Off?
Yeah. Okay, good morning. Thank you all very much for joining. First of all, a big thank you to Mr. Shadruz for dedicating this year in the honor of his mother, whose Shloshim is today, correct? Today is the Shloshim. So it's a big kavod. Oops. Thank you.
I feel like it's all big up for you. More attention. Is it bothering you?
No, it's good.
It's good?
Yeah. It's a big honor to give this year here in honor of Li'ili Nishmas Rina Bat Bejat. It's hard for me to say those things, but trying. You should know, we have opportunities throughout the week to learn together various shiurim. The kollel has opportunities to learn together. Bechavrusa, if you want to come at nights, the avreichim are available for small chaburas we're forming. You can learn what you'd like. Thank you so much. That's kind of you. To learn with the avreichim is a very special opportunity. Mr. Shadruz and I have a chance to learn together almost every week at the Shalashis at Yik. We have a shir there that's very special. So Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of opportunities to learn, and the community is bustling and growing and striving for more. And we're looking for more and more opportunities to grow it and help it along in that process. That being said, this is amazing. A random Wednesday morning, apparently it's not random, it's consistent every single week to have so many people. How many people are here? 40 people during the week on a morning to learn for a couple of hours, 3 hours a week, to carve that kind of time out of your schedule. That is not a simple thing to do. That is not something you should take for granted, that the people who run it should take for granted. That's a big Kiddush Hashem, and it's a very, very, very special growth opportunity. It's something, that kind of consistency is what really builds an affection for Talmud Torah, what really builds a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, and you should keep it up every Wednesday. Maybe soon it'll be Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We'll see. We'll get us. Maybe Mr. Shadruz will sponsor more days of the week. That'd be great. So, B'siyat Deshmaya. More and more B'siyat Deshmaya. You should keep growing. So, as the title of the shir suggested, I don't know how many people got the source sheets and or prepared them, but the title of the shir was discussing the concept of honoring the deceased. And what the idea was supposed to be, because again, we're commemorating a shloshim today of the person who dedicated in honor of his mother. So I wanted to discuss the concept of kibud avim, which is obviously a mitzvah d'oraisa with a lot of halachos that pertain to hopefully many, many people in the room and outside of the room, people who listen to the shir and otherwise. It's a very, very important, very relevant, practical halachic topic. The question that I wanted to discuss seems to be a little less relevant, and that's what we're going to discuss, whether it is relevant or is not relevant, is the question of kibud avim after a parent has passed away, which is what we're dealing with right now, a shloshim for a mother, trying to show kavod, trying to show honor to a mother who's no longer in this world, who's in the olam ha'emes. So is there a way still to be mekayim that mitzvah? Can someone still fulfill that mitzvah of kibud avim, of respecting, of honoring, of showing kavod to a parent, even after they've passed on? Is that a possibility? Or is the mitzvah really gone at that point? So the truth is, even when we have the mitzvah d'oraisa, the biblical command of kibud avim in this world, it's a very, very, very difficult mitzvah to keep. And I'm not only commenting on our relationship with our parents. Each of us have our own sort of complicated relationships or less complicated relationships, feelings towards our parents, mostly, hopefully, love and affection and hakaras hatov. But there are things, there are relationships that are complicated, but that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the chi of daraisa, the mitzvah, the halacha itself, is very, very, very hard to live up to. If you look in the Gemara and Kedushan, daf lamed aleph and beis, the Gemara says, it quotes Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan was able to say this because he was a yasam. He was an orphan, but he was an orphan in a very unique way. He was conceived. When he was conceived, his father passed away. And when he was born, his mother died at childbirth. So he literally never met his parents. He never had an opportunity to meet his parents. So as someone who was a true yasam, who never had a chance to meet his parents, he didn't know any different. So it's hard to say nebuch because he didn't know any different. But it was this sad situation. He didn't get to know his parents. He says, Ashrei me. He says, fortunate is the one who never met their parents. That's what he says about himself and about someone else who had that situation. Fortunate is someone who never met their parents. Why is someone like that fortunate? So Rabbi Yochanan wasn't making some disgusting joke about his parents. He was saying that it's so difficult to be mekayim the mitzvah. Rashi explains, E'efshar l'kayim kvodam kechol atzorech v'hu ne'nash aleihem. A person cannot, it's simply impossible to fully fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim while you're alive in this world. There's too much kavod, too much honor that we owe to our parents, too much thanks we're supposed to show them, that a person could never fully fulfill that obligation. And so, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's better off if a person never met their parents, because otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to be obligated in kibud av v'aim. You're not going to be able to live up to the standard you'd like to live up to. And Rachmana Litzlan, you're going to incur onish. You're going to incur a punishment for having not lived up to that standard. So better off that we should leave the parents out of the picture, says Rabbi Yochanan, and not have a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim at all. Wow, a powerful, crazy statement. If you look in the Gemara talks about stories. Rabbi Tarfon was a big tzaddik, a big Talmud Chacham. If you want, you could ask my son. My son has, you guys see these Tanayim series books that are out now? They're like a big thing in the six-year-old Chevra. So my son loves this Tanayim series. So right now he's been working for the last couple of weeks on Rabbi Tarfon. He's reading the biography of Rabbi Tarfon like every night. And I don't think the teacher is too happy because every reading assignment he reads the same book again and again. And they're supposed to be expanding their horizons, but he's reading the book. It's like 50 pages, so he's taking a while. But Rabbi Tarfon was a big tzaddik, a big Talmud Chacham. At least that's what my son told me. And the Gemara there on Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis and Maseches Kedushin says that Rabbi Tarfon himself, this Gadol Ador, this big Talmud Chacham, this big tzaddik with a big long white beard, what did he do? When his mother needed to get into the bed, it was a little too high. She couldn't step up into it. He would lay out on the floor on all fours like a step stool. And his mother would step onto him in order to propel herself into the bed. And you think, the Achronim say, that's Zakin Ve'enu Hufich Voda. We have a Gemara in Bava Metzia, we have a Halach in Shulchan Aruch in Chayshin Mishpat, that when you have a tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, someone who's a real significant individual, there's a level of honor that they have to accord themselves. They have to hold themselves to a certain standard. A real Talmud Chacham, a real Rav, he's not supposed to lay down on the floor and let someone step on him. I guess the Gemara didn't realize that is what being a rabbi is. Being a rabbi is mostly about being stepped on by the Baal Batim. But okay, but this was although I understand there's a little more kavod about him in the Sephardic community, so maybe that joke doesn't apply here. But generally speaking, we know that Rabbanus is an avdus. It's all about being stepped on. But you shouldn't literally lay yourself out. That's not appropriate. So the Achronim say, what's going on over here? Rabbi Tarfon's laying on the floor and his mother's stepping on him? So the Achronim say, yeah. You know why? Because kibud av v'aim, the Gemara tells us, is hukash. It's connected. It's intrinsically connected. It's inherently tied to kavod hamakom, kavod hamakom, kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kavod es Hashem mihoncha, kavod es avicha vasimecha. The two mitzvahs are intertwined, they're linked. And really, when we show kavod to our parents, in a way, we're showing kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Those are a cyclical sort of nature of mitzvahs. And therefore, there's a higher level, a higher degree that's commanded from, that's demanded of a person who is trying to mechabit their parents. So yeah, even Reb Tarfon, even a tzaddik has to lay on the floor and be stepped on by his parents. It is very hard to live up to a story like that. In fact, even if you could dream up a situation in which you and I could find a way to really be mekayim, really fulfill this mitzvah of kibud av v'aim to the fullest extent in our lifetime, some interesting marmakomos suggest that it has to go back into a point in lifetime where it would be very, very difficult to be mekayim the mitzvah. If you look in the Sefer Ma'or V'Shemesh, one of the earlier Hasidic Sfarim, he quotes from Rabbi Elimelech Milizhinsk, the Noam Elimelech. Some of you have probably heard of the Noam Elimelech. So this is a wonderful, amazing, scary comment from the Noam Elimelech. Noam Elimelech said that in his adult years, in his later years, he was doing a cheshbon ha-nefesh. He was thinking what he's done in his life, what mistakes he's made, and he was trying to do tshuva. And in his adult years, he said, this is an incredible concept. He said, I did tshuva for all of the averos, all of the sins I committed in my younger years. When I was a youngster, when I was a minor, when I was a katan, when I wasn't yet a gadol, when I wasn't yet 13 years old. I did tshuva for all of my mistakes I made. Whoa, that's already an incredible statement. Wow. Then he says, even for the pain that I caused my mother in utero. When I was a fetus in the womb, I was kicking, I was pinching, I was giving contractions, I was making my mother have a lot of pain. I feel badly over that because it's a lack of kibud av v'aim. Unbelievable. And he says, I felt I had to do tshuva in my later years of life for that pain I caused my mother when I was still in utero, when I was still in the uterus. Unbelievable. So even if you could find a way to dream up being mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim in this world, good luck going all the way back to the beginning to the drawing board and trying to do tshuva on the averos we do in the womb. In the womb. That's a very high level to reach, obviously, but it's just further proof to the point that Chazal already stressed, which is that this mitzvah is very, very, very difficult to be mekayim in its entirety, in the full way. One would think that even if you could somehow extend the mitzvah, like Rav Meir Lezhinsk was trying to say, a funny chiddush, but you could extend the mitzvah all the way back to the womb, to the pain you caused in utero, even if you could imagine such a thing, we would imagine there's a stop. We would imagine there's a limit. There's a maximum to the amount of kibbutz ha'im. Meaning, not talking about what I heard some people discussing earlier when I walked in, not talking about the concept of paying from your own money, your own taking on expenses to honor your parents. I mean, actually, chronologically, in terms of time, there's a point at which kibbutz ha'im stops. When is there no longer a mitzvah of kibbutz ha'im? When the parents pass away. What does it mean, kibbutz ha'im? How are you supposed to honor your parents if they're no longer in this world? What could you do to accord them any honor, to give them any covet at all? So the truth is, that initial reaction, that havamina, is corroborated. If you have the source sheet, I don't know if you have them, the source sheets are here. If you have the source sheet, so you look in source number 2, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Moed Katan, Yerushalmi says that once a person, the halach is as follows. If a person, Rachman al Islam, becomes an avel, meaning they lose one of their 7 closest of kin, their 7 closest relatives, as delineated in the beginning of Parshas Emor, when the Torah is talking about the Kohanim. Kohanim are not allowed to be matami, they're not allowed to become impure to a mace, to a corpse. They can't go to a cemetery, they can't go to a funeral. So the Torah delineates 7 krovim, 7 relatives to whom a Kohen is allowed to, and then is mitzvah probably to be metame himself too, to become impure too, and go to their funeral and help with the burial. Mother, father, sister, brother, spouse, son, and daughter. 7 relatives. So when someone becomes an avel, aside from the fact that they have 7 days of avelus, and then 30 days of a shloshim, like we're talking about today, and then 12 months of a fuller year of avelus called Yud Beis Chodesh, so on top of that, there's also a chiyuv of kriya, that a person has to rend their garment, they have to tear their garment when they lose a relative, Rachman Tzlan, should it happen to a person. So, where do you tear your garment? How do you tear your garment? So there are a lot of halachos involved in this. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, Yerdei Siman Shin Mem, which is all about Hilchos Kriya. It very happens to be a very geshmaka, if it wasn't so sad. It would be a very geshmaka siman, a lot of interesting sugyas, and it's a pretty long siman in Shulchan Aruch. But Siman Shin Mem in Yerdei tells us that from the Gemara in Moed Katan, the third parak of Moed Katan is all the halachos of Avelus. So the halacha says that a person, generally speaking, tears the right side of their shirt from the upper chest. Where exactly that starts is the collar, is the inside here. That's, you know, up for debate in terms of the poskim. We have a practice, but we're not here to talk about that right now. But you tear the right side of your shirt, you tear a tefach. That's kriya, Rachman al-Tzlan. A person has to tear kriya. They tear about a tefach right here. The Gemara Noi Katan on Daf Chaf Beis Amad Beis says that's true by 6 of the Krovim, 6 of the relatives, or 5 I should say, 5 of the relatives, but 2 relatives, father and mother, are different. How are they different? They're different in 2 ways, actually different in a whole list of ways, but 2 that we're going to talk about now. The 2 are as follows. First of all, you don't tear on the right side, rather you tear on the left side, right over your heart. That's where you tear kriya for a parent. Very moving. Secondly, instead of a regular case of kriya where you only tear the upper garment, the most outer layer that you're wearing, by a kriya for a father or a mother, when a person's parents pass away, Rachman al-Tzlan, they tear ad sheyegala es libo, says the Gemara, until they reveal the heart, meaning until you reach through all the layers and get to the chest. You don't only tear the top garment. You tear through the top garment, the next garment, and the garment underneath. Ah, excellent question. Excellent question. So what I just said is quoted in Shulchan Aruch from Yerdei Asim and Shin Mem, Sif Tes and Sif Yud. What about Talas Katan? What about Sittis? Excellent question. So we're not really here for a Hilchos Kriya here, but it's worth addressing. So the poskim do talk about that. Does it literally mean all the way to your chest? What if you're wearing a shirt and then a Talas Katan sits underneath, and then, I don't know, maybe an undershirt, whatever, and then your body. So you have to go all the way through the Talas Katan. So the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg, has chuvas, tons and tons of chuvas, a lot of medical chuvas, a lot of interesting things. And Chelik Hei has something called Ramat Rachel. Ramat Rachel contains within it some of Hilchos Avelos of his chuvas. So there he suggests, yes. How do we know? Because you're supposed to tear every beged that you're wearing. Beged means a piece of clothing, right? So is a talis katan a beged or not a beged? Is it clothing? So on the one hand, it's a little different than other clothing. But on the other hand, it would only be chayiv in tzitzis if it was a real beged. You're not chayiv to put it on sits on a fake baguette, on something that's not real. So it's a real baguette, you're wearing it, you gotta go straight through it. That's what the Tzitz Eliezer recommends. Halach l'maisi, he passes it that way. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, in his Tshuvas and Har Tzvi, he disagrees. He quotes a tshuva from the Netziv. The Netziv wrote a tshuva in Meshev Davar, where the Netziv says differently. The Netziv says, no, it is a real baguette in your chayiv and sits, that's true. A talis katan is a real baguette, but it's a baguette one only wears in order to be mekayim a mitzvah. So if it's a baguette you're only wearing to keep a mitzvah, that's not the type of baguette you have to tear. For example, if a person was wearing a jacket, a shirt, the jacket's a little bit questionable, but a shirt, and then an undershirt, and then it was their chest underneath. Do they have to tear the undershirt? So on the one hand, it's a shirt. It's something you wear. On the other hand, it's called big day zeya in halacha. It's a shirt you literally just wear to keep the sweat from going through to the clothing that's more important. So big day zeya, we generally assume, are not chayiv in kriya. So too, big day mitzvah, says the Netziv, which was V'Asaf Frank is quoting, are also not considered big day begadim for the concept, the halacha of kriya. They're big day mitzvah. They're something that are important to wear for the mitzvah, but otherwise you wouldn't wear, so you don't really have to tear all the way through. So it's a fascinating question the poskim do deal with. Not really our topic right now, but that's a discussion. But either way, the difference between everyone else, five krovim, brother, sister, husband, wife, spouse, son, daughter, so father and mother are different in the sense that you tear on the left side over the heart and you tear all the way to the heart. You tear through all of the levels of clothing. Why do you tear achi galas libo? Why do you tear all the way down to the level of the heart? So this is where we get the source number two in the source sheet, the Gemara in Yerushalmi in Mod Katan. In the third parak, the Gemara says that the reason why we tear all the way to the heart in the case of a mother or father who passed away, Rachman al-Islan, is because bat lamimenu mitzvahs kavod. We're especially in despair. We're especially upset. We're especially distraught when we experience the misa, Rachman son, should we experience the misa of a parent, because now that mitzvah of kibra ve'im, batla. What does batla mean? Nullified. So what does the Gemara Yerushalmi here seem to imply? Is there a mitzvah of kibra ve'im after a parent passes away? Absolutely not. Why am I tearing all the way through all my garments? Because by other siblings, it's sad. It's very, very sad. So we tear our garments. By a parent, it's sad and batla mitzvah kibud. There's no longer a mitzvah of giving kavod to the parent. That mitzvah has disappeared. We're almost in mourning for the lack of the mitzvah. So you got to tear all the way to the heart. So it sounds very clear from the Gemara Yerushalmi over here that the mitzvah of kibud avim ends when a parent passes away. There's no more you can do to afford them, to accord them that honor. Now that they have departed, now that they have left to the Olam HaEmes, there's nothing more you can do for them. And we said it's very logical. How could one be mechabed his parents after Misa? How could one offer honor to a parent if they're no longer here to benefit from that honor, to enjoy the kavod that you're giving them? However, if you look in the very first source on the sheet, the Gemara that we pasted on the page over there, that's the Gemara in Kedushan, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. The Gemara in Kedushan there says, quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says as follows, Mechabdo b'chayav, mechabdo b'moso. Very simple. The Gemara says from a Braisa, a person is obligated to honor his father and mother, both in their lifetime and after they passed away. The Gemara proceeds to tell us examples of how you do that. In their lifetime, how do you honor the father? So the Gemara says, you do everything that happens in your life that people give you honor for. You say, it's not me, it's my father. My father raised me. He's the one who really deserves the honor. I'm really just carrying on the legacy, you know, something along those lines. You always give your father honor. Ketzad bimoso. How do you honor your father when he's already passed away, the Gemara says? What's the answer? You say, everything you quote from him, it sounds like the Gemara, you say, Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Hareini kaparat mishkavo. Don't Sfarim do that. Kapara, kapara. So you say, no, that's just what we make fun of you guys for. You don't really do it. All right. Whatever. I don't know anything. So Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. What does it mean, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo? So the Gemara says, at least within the first 12 months of Avelis, that a person is supposed to, when they quote their parent, they're supposed to say, my father, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, said such and such. That's how you're supposed to quote your parent. Why? What are you saying when you say that? What do those words mean? So Rashi explains, you have it on the page. I think it's highlighted as well on the source sheet. Rashi explains that a person is basically saying as follows, nobody is impervious to Avera. Everyone sins in their lifetime. And we know when a person goes up to Shemayim, he's going to spend some time, he's Asud Litin Asadin, he's going to spend some time suffering some punishment and incurring some onesh for having violated Averas in their lifetime. Nobody's perfect. There's no such thing. So we know that there's going to be some kapara process that's taking place in Shemayim. So we say down here, every time we quote our parents, we say, Hareini kaparas mishkavo. Let me take the fall. Let me take on some of the punishment. That's what we're saying, that we want to atone for our parents in their death. So in our lifetime, we want to be an atonement for our parents who are already in Shemayim. Now, here the Gemara said black on white. Is there a mitzvah of kibud avim after they pass away? The Yerushalmi said no, but the Bavli clearly says, yes, there is, emphatically. That seems to fly in the face of the Yerushalmi we said before. It also goes against the Svara, the logic that we incorporate into the Yerushalmi before, which is that how do you honor a parent after they passed away? How is that even possible? Worse than both those things, meaning let's say it's a machlokas bavli and yerushalmi. Anyone here not going to be able to sleep tonight? It's not such a big deal, right? Not such a big deal. A bavli, yerushalmi, they argue, no, we'll move on, we'll get over it. Even if the logic doesn't exactly add up, I'm pretty tired tonight, so I would definitely fall asleep. I don't know about you guys. But it's worse than that. Internally, mine uve, internally, in the Gemara Bavli, here in the Gemara Kedushin that you have on the page, there's a major problem. If you go down the page to the second group of highlights here, the Gemara in Kedushin quotes another brisa where the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara wants to define two mitzvahs. We have two psukim in the Torah, multiple psukim in the Torah, but two samples. Kabeiras avicha v'simecha, you have to accord honor to your parents, father and mother. And ish aviv v'imo tira'u. You also have to what? Fear, right. Have awe of your parents, which we refer to as kibud avayim and mora avayim. Honor for your parents and respect or fear for your parents. So the Gemara says, how do you define those two different things that the Brice is talking about? What's kibud and what's mora? So the Gemara says as follows, ezehu mora, what's considered mora? So the Gemara answers that a person has to refrain from sitting in their father's seat, that a child never argues on a mother or father. You never explicitly argue. If you have to argue, you find a way to do it extremely respectfully by showing where the source is in Shulchan Aruch or something. It's respect, right? It's recognizing their authority. It's realizing their significance and reacting to things they say and also proactively acting towards them with a sense of yira, with a sense of fear, of awe, of respect for that authority and for the significance of their relationship with you. What is kibud then? What's kavod? How are you mechabed a parent? How do you do that? So there, the Gemara basically says that you do acts of service which accord honor to the parent. You feed the parent. I wish there was an English word for drink the parent, because in Hebrew it's mashkehu, but it's you give him to drink. But we don't have that, right, in English. You feed him, you give him to drink, you help him get dressed, you greet and you escort him. He comes into the house, you walk him in, your mother is leaving, you walk her out. Those are the things you do to show kavod. If we wanted to simplify the two categories, basically, mora would be the chiyuv to show respect to one's parents, right? And kavod would be the chiyuv to provide honorable acts of service, physical acts of service. Mora is attitudinal, and kavod is physical. It's actionable. It's something you actually do to your parents in their relationships with you. Although it's not exactly the same, the Torah Tamima and Parshas Yisro suggests that the difference between kavod and mora, the difference between honor and respect, is that kavod is generally gashmi. It's generally physical. It's things you provide that are physical benefits to the parents. Whereas mora is more inyanim ruchniyim, it's less tangible, it's intangibles, it's respect, it's a feeling of kavod that you give to them, a feeling of yira that you offer to them, but those are two very, very different things. Yeah.
If you're in a position where you could only respect one, your parents or your spouse,
Depends how the spouse is going to react. No, that's Gemara talks about this, so we have to, it would be a whole other shir. The Gemara does talk about it, and the Shach has an important comment in Shulchan Aruch about it, but it will be another Yichus. Yeah. You guys can't afford to have me for that many shirim, I'm saying. That's like ooh, that's going to be crazy. So it's a good question. It's an important question. So the Gemara is very difficult, though, no? This Gemara becomes very challenging. Why? Because we had a Yerushalmi which says there's no mitzvah of kavod after Misa, correct? That makes sense to us. No mitzvah of honoring parent after Misa. They're not here anymore. How are you going to give them honor? Good. Let me say the Bavli said there is a mitzvah to accord honor to a parent after they've passed away. We don't know how, and we're confused by that, and it's against the Yerushalmi, but okay, we'll get over it. There's a machlokas, there's a dispute between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Fine, I can live with that. But look in the Bavli itself. The Bavli says that the mitzvah of kavod is defined as what? What do you do to be mechabed a parent? How are you mechabed a parent? You do things for them physically. You feed them. You give them a cup of tea. You open the door for them. You help them get dressed if they're too frail to get dressed. That's how you offer someone honor in this world. It's inyanim gashmiim, as the Torah Tamima said. It's physical. It's something you do that's tangible to the person in their lifetime. How is that possible after they passed away? The Bavli itself is defining what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to do things physically to actually benefit the person in this world. How do you accomplish that if the person has already left to another world? How could you possibly do the mitzvah of kibud avim if that parent has already passed away? You hear the question? A very bothersome question if you care about the Torah and halacha. Okay, so let's offer three approaches. Three approaches to try to solve, to try to resolve, and try to reconciliate the different sources, and also to try to get a better picture logically in Svara, make some sense of it. Could it be that there's a mitzvah of kibud avim after Misa? If it can't be, what does our Gemara mean? And if it can be, well, what does that mean? How do you have that tura, that idea, that concept, a method by which you're mechabed your parents even after they passed away? So you have on the source sheet the first approach. My Rebbe, Rav Shechter Shlita, this is my first couple months in LA. I just moved here in July, July 4th I moved here. And I was in Yeshiva University for the last 10 years, YU in Washington Heights. So I had, Baruch Hashem, benefited from really great world-class Talmidei Chacham as my Rebbeim, big tzaddikim, big Yad Shamayim, very wise people. Rav Shechter Shlita is one of them. He's the leading Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva there. And Rav Meir Tversky is another close Rebbe of mine whose Shiur I was in for 10 years. So Rav Tversky has a few Svarim that maybe you're familiar with, maybe you're not, but he has three, probably the more popular Svarim. He has what we call a trilogy, three volumes where he records a lot of anecdotal stories and halachos and psakim from his Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, who was his Rebbe for many years. So he records those in Nefesh HaRav, Mipnine HaRav, and Divrei HaRav, that series. Separately, he has his own Svarim that he's put out with his own Divrei Torah. Those are called Eretz HaTzvi, Be'ikvei Atzon, and Ginas Egos. Those go in alphabetical order, Alf Beis Gimel. Eretz HaTzvi, Be'ikvei Atzon, and Ginas Egos. So in the Sefer Ginas Egos, my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita quotes the following interesting point from the Rav. The Rav asked this question. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, asked this question. He wondered, how could it be that you have such a concept of Kibud Av Em Lachar Misa? We see the Gemara says that the way Kibud Av Em is fulfilled, that you're obligated in Kibud Av Em, it means to do physical acts of service for a parent. You cannot do that if they pass away. So what does the Gemara mean? Mechabdo b'misa. Mechabdo b'chaim, mechabdo b'misa. How is that possible? It's not possible. So the Rav says something fascinating. Rav Soloveitchik said like this. He said, you're right. You're right. There is no mitzvah of kavod after a parent has passed away. How could you give kavod? How could you give honor? They've passed away. You can't do physical acts for them anymore. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, mechabdo b'moso. So Rav Soloveitchik said like this. Rav Soloveitchik said that the Gemara said, mechabdo b'moso, it didn't mean kavod. It was imprecise. It was what we call lav dafka. The Gemara was using a borrowed term, a melitza. Most of us use the term of kibud av em. How many people here throw around the term, oh, I'm going to offer my parents mora? You don't talk like that. We talk. We throw around the term. I'm going to be mechabed my mother. I'm going to do kibud av em. I'm going to show kavod. Even though the Gemara was really talking about mora, mora applies after misa to have respect, to feel that there was an authority, to feel, you know, in awe of one's parents. That can apply after, honestly, that can apply even in a more deep way after a parent has passed along and we realize the impact they had on us and the impact they had on the world. So mora applies forever. Says the Gemara, how you have to be mechabed b'chayim, mechabed miso. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, it doesn't mean mechabed. It means mora. The Gemara used the term mechabed, but it was imprecise. It really meant mora. Really, only the mitzvah of mora avim, of yira, of having fear of your parents, of awe and respect for your parents, that applies after they passed away. But enachanami, the mitzvah of kavod, can't no longer apply. It's impossible to apply once the parent has passed away. In fact, elsewhere, Rav Soloveitchik had a comment, very interesting, related to our parshios. You know, we know that Esav was the paradigmatic mechabed Aviv, right? He was the Spitz Mechaved Av. He was Mekai in the midst of Kibud Av Em par excellence. That's part of the reason, we don't understand what this means. That's part of the reason Yitzchak was somewhat tricked, duped into thinking that Esav was really a tzaddik because of his tremendous amount of Kibud Av Em. That's maybe why he was Zocha, that part of his body made it into a very holy spot for burial. Okay, we know that about Esav. That's such a funny thing, no? What happens in the last week's parsha? Esav is this mechabed av. He's this, respects his father like no one else. He's amazing. And he's always doing for his father. And then a couple took him later. His father makes a mistake, a big mistake, fine. And he gives a bracha that's supposed to be for Esav to his brother Yaakov. How does Esav respond? Do you remember? So he's upset. He's upset. He shries. He cries out. He's upset. And then what does he say? Vayomer Esav alibo. He says to himself, he thinks to himself, let me wait a little bit. Yikrvu yimei evil. Not only, I don't even want to wait so much, right? Let my father die soon, and then what will I do? I'll slaughter my brother. I'll kill Yaakov. Esav is ready to, as long as his father is not watching, he's ready to kill Yaakov. Do you think that would bring kavod to Yitzchak? Do you think that would bring kavod and honor to his father? That doesn't seem like a very good mechabed av. What does that mean? That Esav was he had kibud av em, but he was ready to kill his brother as long as his father wasn't watching? What in the world does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik said it's exactly this point. What did Esav know? Esav knew of a mitzvah of kibud av. He knew of a mitzvah of honoring one's parents. How? By feeding them, by giving them to drink, by helping them get dressed, by taking care of their physical needs. Why would a person do that? Two reasons. One, genuinely, they respect the relationship they have, the tangible relationship they have with the parent in front of them. They see the impact the parent is having. They feel hakar satov. They experience that relationship physically in this world. Additionally, there will be times where the son needs to rely on the father. If I give my father food to eat, he might send me a check next month and say, I love you, thanks for being such a good son. And if I'm good to my father, he might help with rent one time. Or maybe he'll buy me lunch next week when I buy him lunch this week. There's a relationship here. There's a little bit of a reciprocal relationship that you could imagine that we're going to give and we're going to take. And there's a good mutually beneficial relationship between the father and the son. Esau saw that and he said, that's my mitzvah. That instinctive physical reaction, I want to be mekayem the mitzvah of having that relationship with my father where it's tangible, where I feel it. But the second that Yitzchak passed away, the second his father was no longer in this world and it wasn't physical, what was left? Not covet, says Rav Soloveitchik, but mora. Respect for authority? Awe? Caring about the significance, the stature, the importance of the figure that was my father, Yitzchak? Esau never really cared about that. He cared about the physical give and take. So he's mechabit, his father, in this world. But the second that Yitzchak passed away, there was nothing left to that relationship. Someone like a Yaakov, or all of us hopefully, who keep the Torah, someone who cares about the relationship not because of the physical give and take, not because we're going to benefit ultimately from having been nice to our parents, but because we respect the person. We respect the relationship because the Torah gives us a feeling of respect and awe and care and love and genuine passion to take care of that person. That stays even after Misa. Is it technically kavod? Is it technically mora? We can debate that. And we can talk about it in the Gemara, whether the source is supposed to be mechabdo b'moso, or really it's lav dafka, and it means you should show mora when he's passed away. But we certainly have that relationship, and even deeper, once the parent passes away, Esav missed the boat. Esav saw kavod as only physical acts of service that can only exist in a person's lifetime. But we see that there's something that extends past a person's lifetime. The parent goes to Shemayim, the parent leaves, there is still a mora, an intense respect, an intense care for a parent, even after they passed away. That's the first approach. Maybe the whole Gemara didn't mean what it meant. It didn't really mean what it said, I mean. It said kavod, but it really meant mora. That's possible. The other possibility, some argue this way, is that, and you have it on the source sheet as well, from the you have it under the source B'Tzel HaChachma, but really it's from the Tiferes Yisrael. Some argue that even kavod does apply after Misa. The Gemara said it. It's easier to say this way, right? The Gemara in Kedushin did say mechabdo b'moso. But if the Gemara is saying mechabdo b'moso, so we have multiple issues. Remember, just in terms of logically, well, let's start with not logically, just in terms of sources. So the Bavli is against the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi said there's no kavod after Misa. Additionally, just logically, what do you mean? You can't provide physical acts of service once the parent has passed away. So what does it mean that there's a mitzvah of kavod even after the parent passed away? So the Tiferes Yisrael, most famously, but many others say this as well, say, yeah, we have a concept like this all the time. When a parent is alive, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of kabedes avicha v'asimecha. You got to honor that parent. You got to serve them food and drink. You got to escort them. Those are the things you have to do, the physical acts for the parent that's kavod in this world. When the parent passes away, the mitzvah still applies. Midirabanan. It used to be a biblical command. It used to be one of the Aseret Diboros. One of the major biblical commands in the 10 big ones. And they passed away, so it's downgraded a little bit. It's lessened a little bit. It's still a mitzvah. You're still chayiv and kibud aveim, but it's a mitzvah derabanan. How? So we're not ready to answer that question quite yet, but one half answer, just to not make it seem like I don't know the answer. So it's really just for my own self-esteem, is that the poskim debate an interesting point. What if a parent tells you to do something and they pass away? And you have to now, you know, there's a mitzvah to be mekayim divrei mase. But let's say they told you something in their lifetime, they passed away a little while later. Do you still have a mitzvah of kavod? They have to listen to what they said and honor their will after they passed away. So the poskim debate that, whether that still applies, whether there's still a mitzvah d'oraisa of kibud aveim or not for that. Because they said something in their lifetime for you to do, now you're only being mekayim that after they passed away. Is that a kiyum d'oraisa of kibud aveim? If it is it a kiyum d'oraisa on a lower level than if they were alive? And if it's not, is it a kiyum d'rabanan at least? So that's a discuss. How does that ever fit? How does that ever fit? That's more mora. That's more mora. Right. We have to think about that.
Buried parents in Israel. After
that's one example the post can bring. The other one is say Kaddish, don't say Kaddish for this person. Like they give you sort of a command. So I don't know. You would argue that it gives them...
Something outside of their passing. Let's say they say, don't become a doctor.
Yeah. That's what my parents said. I'm like Esav, though. That's the truth. That's the truth. Yeah, so we'll have to come back to your question then, if that wasn't satisfactory. Okay, some of the Achronim do point out that the Chovas Levavos has this shot as well, that really after a parent passes away, there's no mitzvah d'araisa, but there is a mitzvah d'arabanan, and there are other Yushalmi Maseches Kedushin that seem to line up with that approach. Okay, it's possible. The third possibility, and this is by far the most fascinating, creative, and interesting, and it's the one that my Rebbe Rav Sheffler suggested, so it's very meaningful to me as well. The third possibility is that the Gemara Kedushin is correct as reads. There's a mitzvah d'araisa a full-fledged biblical obligation, the same way it applied in lifetime, so too it applies in their death, to be mechabed, to do kabed savich v'asmech, to mechabed your parents. It continues past their decease. What do you do with the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi says the mitzvah is betela. The mitzvah is nullified. It goes away. What do you mean? The Gemara Kedusha says there's a mitzvah daraisa, full-fledged daraisa obligation. So what could you answer?
It's like the mitzvah of the Beit HaMikdash. You can't do
it. Excellent. Excellent. Very good. So some of the Mefarshim say, and the Achronim say exactly that. That the Yerushalmi Moed Katan is not saying betela, meaning now there's no longer a mitzvah. The Gemara Yerushalmi is saying, now you're going to have many less opportunities to do the mitzvah because the parents are no longer here. Let's say we find a way to do covet after a person passed away. Okay, but you can't feed them, you can't give them drink, you can't help them get dressed, you can't walk them to shul, you can't do a lot of things you were able to do. Betela, it's batla, it's a mace mitzvah in the sense that like the mitzvah is a little bit hard to keep at this point. That's something worth tearing kriya over. So maybe that's all the Yerushalmi meant. Maybe the Yerushalmi didn't mean that there's no longer a mitzvah, it meant there's many less, significantly less, opportunities to be mekayim, to fulfill that mitzvah. But what about the more important question, the crucial question? How is one mekayim kibud av aim if they passed away? There is no ma'achileyu, mashkeyu, mechabdeyu b'chayim. There is no dressing them and feeding them and doing those tangibly beneficial actions of physical acts of service, of honor for the parent. So how are you mekayim the mitzvah if they passed away? It applies to Araisa. Thank you. Beautiful idea. And you see it in the Gemara and Kedushin. But how does it apply? Because the Gemara and Kedushin defines it as giving them a real benefit. Visiting their okay, but that's not a physical. They don't exist in the their neshama is floating, but the body doesn't get any benefit from that.
So why go to the burial? Why go?
There is a mitzvah kavod ames in general.
I know, but I'm saying obviously there's some physical.
No, that could be a spiritual. That could be a spiritual kavod. So let's see if we can come something along the lines of what you're suggesting. But I don't think it's related necessarily to the levaya. But let's come to something along the lines of what you're saying. So Rav Shechter suggests a very, very, very fascinating answer. Remember what the Gemara said? The Gemara says, Mechabdo b'chayav, Mechabdo b'moso. How are you Mechabid b'moso? What did the Gemara say? When a parent passes away, how do you offer kavod still?
You say their name every time.
Every time you quote them, you say, Hareini kaparas mishgavo. What did that mean? Rashi told us. I should take some of the onesh. I should take some of the yisurim, some of the punishment, some of the suffering that they're incurring in Shemayim. That's what Rashi explained, Hareini kaparas mishgavo. Everyone is asid litin adin. If I'm the first one to break it to you, I'm sorry. But all of us are going to suffer at least a little bit for mistakes we've made in this world. That is the way Shemayim works. That's the way that having a din and a dayan works. So we can assume, no matter how big of a tzaddik our parents were, that there's some mistake that they're going to have to pay for in Shemayim. Now, hopefully minimal, and hopefully not for a long time, but we know that's going on up there in Shemayim. Okay, so what do? We say, Hareini kaparas mishgavo. What does it mean? I want to lighten their load. I want to make my parents' existence more bearable. I want to make their experience more enjoyable. I want to lessen the intensity of the onesh up there. In saying those words, Hareini kaparas mishgavo, a person is actually offering a service from which the parent can benefit. They are benefiting the parent. It's not a physical in the sense that it's taking place in a spiritual realm. And it's a spiritual punishment. Obviously, it's not physical completely in that sense. But there is a life that they're living which is lacking something. And you are trying to fill in that gap for them. You're trying to provide for them. You're trying to do acts which actually benefit them in the world, in the state that they're living in. We don't know exactly what that means. How does such a thing work? Why does such a thing work? What does it mean that such a thing works? You know, some say that it's specifically limited to a parent and child. The parent did some mitzvahs, did some averas. The child is really the outgrowth of that parent and the continuation of that parent, which means everything the child does is relatable to the parents or in some cases attributable to the parents, meaning it's the parents' zechus or the opposite, what the child does in some way. They take some degree of responsibility. So what we do in this world can really affect their din as well because, well, now we see the payros. Now we see what came out from this person's lifetime. So there's a direct connection between a parent and child. Others say, no, it's not limited to parent and child. We can all somehow lighten the load of people who are passing away, who are in Shemayim, who are suffering, as long as we have a form of arvus, of interconnectedness that all of Klal Yisrael experiences, no matter what your family or not family. Rav Moshe Sternbach has in Tshuvas Van Hagos a very down-to-earth explanation where he says that, no, the child says, Hareini kaparas mishgavo, which means as follows. It means that a person is saying, I'm going to say Kaddish. I'm going to do more mitzvahs. I'm going to give tzedakah. I'm going to learn more Torah. All of that I'm going to do in order to atone for my mother. to be a kapar for my mother. And if I don't, harini kaparas mishgavo. If I don't, I'm going to pay the price for not taking on those mitzvos, for not fulfilling what I said I would do. But a person is trying to affect, is trying to impact their parents' life, their parents', you know, new stage of life, so to speak, in Shemayim, harini kaparas mishgavo. That's what Rashi is telling us. That's what Moshe Sternbach is suggesting. Whether you literally physically get sick or it'll be some other form of yisur, and I'm, you know, not qualified. Why Yusmicha doesn't teach us those topics, but yeah, it's implying that you're taking upon yourself literally yisur. Yes, where that would apply and how it apply, that's for the Kabbalah Seder that I assume takes place at lunchtime. You sort in a way that what we were describing before is. Wait, what do you mean? Meaning? Right. No, on behalf of your parent.
But you can't be a shlach mitzvah for an avera. So you can be a shlach mitzvah for a mitzvah.
Oh, how does that concept work? That it goes back to the parent if you do a... Yeah, so it's a nice question. I mean, it's a little bit off topic, but it's an important point. I think the point is really that make an extreme example, but let's say a parent was very not careful about other people's money in their lifetime. They never taught the kids to steal, but they were very, every time they borrowed money, the kids saw at home, it wasn't so quick that they would go to pay it back. They weren't careful with other people's money. And then the kid grows up to be a ganef. So on one level, the kid is, on a lot of levels, the kid is responsible for growing up to be a ganef. That's their fault. But is there some responsibility? It wasn't a shlichus. He didn't tell you to be a ganef. But the impact that the message that was imparted in the home affected the trajectory of that person's life. So that's what we mean by a responsibility that there is between the father and the son, that you're a continuation and an outgrowth, really, of your parents' mistakes, and the opposite, to say out the Shemaya. So there's a connection. There's a continuum between the parent and the child, even between worlds. That's the point we're trying to make. So that's Rav Shechter's answer to this question. Yeah, you can have kibbutz ava'im on a d'oraisa level in this world because you could benefit them in the next world through saying things like harini kaparas mishkavo. Now, how many people here have heard people during your base chodesh say harini kaparas mishkavo? Here and there, definitely not every time they talk about their parents or quote their parents. So a lot of the poskim say that really the halacha only applies when you're quoting a dvar Torah from your parents. If you're saying over, my father used to say the following vart, my mother used to say the following shtikl taira. So you're quoting her and you say harini kaparas mishkavo. Harini kaparas mishkavo for my father. But if you're just saying, oh, my father told me that you turn left here to get to the shul, or you know, my father told me that you should really be honest in business and not steal. Okay, like that's not a dvar Torah. So you don't have to say harini kaparas mishkavo every single time you mention that parent in this world. So if we're not always quoting our parents' dvar Torah, if we're not always spelling out harini kaparas mishkavo, so is there any way in which we're mekayim kibbutz ava'im once the parent has passed away? We mentioned before, maybe doing mitzvahs, maybe that is a helpful thing, but is there any kibbutz ava'im we can apply in this way?
Do you say it before you do any sort of mitzvah? Or is it only if you're quoting?
Are you allowed to? You're allowed to, yeah.
You're
sure. You can say it whenever you want, yeah. But it might not be as meaningful in terms of like you're not relating to Divrei Torah if that's the halacha. Yeah, but there's an even better example, which is so applicable to all of us. I mean, hopefully not, and if so, in the right time. But it's so applicable to all of us that we see it at least every day. What about Kaddish? So the Maharik is quoted by the Rama in Shulchan Aruch, also in the Darkei Moshe, and Simin Shinai involving Yaradeya. The Maharik, quoted by the Rama, and the Beis Yosef has a similar arichus, say that Kaddish accomplishes exactly that. A person is suffering in Shemayim, Rachman al-Tlan, and a child says Kaddish in their honor. When a child says Kaddish in their honor, they're alleviating the pain in Shemayim. They're taking down the level, they're decreasing the level of pain. And based on that, Rabbi Yosef Engel and others say that Kaddish is a mitzvah d'oraisa of kibbutz ava'im. Every time a person says Kaddish for their parents, they're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. Basically, one of the only ways you can still have that mitzvah d'oraisa in this world of kibbutz ava'im, of honoring one's parents by lessening the terrible onesh they're going through in Shemayim. The Bnei Sastar says this as well in Derech Pikudecha, and others say so too. The message really is, and we're going to end here because we're already going into Kabbalah Seder, but the message really is that a person has to find ways, of course, in this world to honor the parents. It's impossible to fully do it, but that doesn't stop us from trying. We have to learn the halachos. We have to try our hardest to honor our parents. There's a relationship that's deeper than just give and take, like Esav thought. There's a relationship that runs very, very deep and very spiritual, and it even extends into the next world. That's true about Mora, respect, but it's also true on a Darabban level, or even on a Daraisa level, about Kavod. That we're supposed to still show honor to our parents. How so? We can provide a nachas ruach. We can do mitzvahs in this world. We can say kaddish. We can say harini kaparas mishkavo. We can take things on in our lives to grow as an effect of what our parents started in this world. And b'siat d'shmaya, through that, we can offer a great kibbutz ava'im to our parents. And ultimately, we should offer more and more kvod shemayim for the whole world to see. Thank you all very much for learning together. Yeah.